Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and tonight is a very special broadcast. This broadcast is, of course, a special tribute to none other than the Million Woman March. That's right. Tonight's broadcast is a tribute to the Million Woman March, and you are invited to call in, share your opinion, share your comments, share your experiences. If you attended the 1997 historic Million Woman March, well, certainly, we want to hear from you. If you're interested in becoming a part now of the official Million Woman Movement, we also want to hear from you. So, without further ado, what we're going to do is, as usual, give thanks and praises to our Creator. Always, always thankful and appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And we thank all of you for tuning in tonight to this special broadcast. Remind you that this broadcast will be aired again tomorrow. So if you missed it tonight, you will be able to hear it tomorrow. Now, tomorrow we're going to bring you also a live broadcast from the Shanghai City Cultural Center here in Philadelphia, where we will continue with our commemoration, 13th year commemoration of the historic Million Woman March. Tomorrow there's going to be a program that we're presenting into the community. It starts at roughly 3:45. The doors are open at 3:30. And what we're doing is we will be presenting the film showing of the Ma'afa 21. Now, for those who are familiar with the Ma'afa 21, then you know it is about really genocide in today, I mean, the 21st century today. I mean, it was clearly from years ago, we know that. And when I say years ago, we know that it was an act of genocide when we was brought here in the first place. But because the arguments have always been, well, that was then, and it's, you know, that's not what's going on now. Well, we now have enough evidence and proof to show that genocide is, in fact, occurring today, okay, and the Ma'afa 21 definitely lets you see and know that that's what's been going on. So we're going to show that film, we're going to have a discussion on it, and we're going to talk about how the Ma'afa 21 and other research is going to now be a part of the Million Woman Marches movement, and also our initiatives as it pertains to charging this government with genocide and also focusing on the human rights violations that we as a people have certainly have been succumbed to and had that placed on us. But as women, we are now going to make sure that our voices are loud and clear in that we are now able to really say, we charge genocide as women, as black women, and of course it is about all of our people, but it is time that our sisters are able to stand up, make a distinct statement about some of these things, and do so in such a way that it is so clear, that it is so powerful, that no one can dismiss it. So that's going to be shown tomorrow, again, the Ma'afa 21 at the Shanghai City Cultural Center, which is located at 3117 Master Street. And we will begin the showing of the film approximately around 4:30 p.m. Now, at 3:45, as I indicated earlier, there's going to be our first, we'll start off with a panel discussion. Now, the panel discussion, the first one, panel discussion one, as it's called, is titled The U.S. Prison Industrialized Complex, COINTELPRO, the Penal System, Injustices, Police, and Governmental Terrorism, and Human Rights Violations. Okay, now that's what that panel is going to cover. And joining us for that panel discussion is Sister Pam Africa, Sister Basima Mube. We will have a representative from Brother Askir Sabor, who, of course, is the brother who was recently, you know, brutally beaten here in Philadelphia, and there's been ongoing demonstrations and actions in regard to that. Also, I will be presenting on that panel to bring about the MWM's position and action plans in regard to the Scott sisters and other, you know, situations pertaining to the prison industrialized complex. We have specific projects and programs now that's geared to women, our women, as it pertains to those who are incarcerated and who are coming out. So that is kind of what that panel discussion is going to entail. There's going to also be updates on Dr. Matula Shakur, as well as the Move 9. And also we're going to talk a little bit about Sister Asada Shakur, because there's still a hands-off Asada program that's going on. And we're going to also give an update on Iman Jamil Alameen. Okay, so that is, again, panel discussion one, and it should start around 3:45 to about 4:20. Then at 4:30, as I indicated, we will show the Ma'afa 21, Black Genocide in the 21st Century. Okay, then let's see, after we show part one of the Ma'afa 21, we will then go into the MWM's campaign. There'll be a presentation in regard to that. That should be around 5:30. And the campaign will focus on the National Black Women's Campaign to Fight Violence and Abuse of Africana Women and Girls. Also, we will bring forward our Recharge Genocide Movement program. So there'll be a presentation in regard to that, and again, that should have been around 5:30. Then, after that presentation, which I will, of course, be doing, we will go to panel discussion two. And from panel discussion two, we will look at covering violations and abuse, which is exploitation of Black women. We're going to look at the cause and effect and the battle to stop it now. So, essentially, we will look at causes, effect, and needless to say, what our proposed solutions are today. Okay, that panel discussion two should take place around 5:40 p.m., and it will go on until 6:15. Okay, then part two of the Ma'afa 21 will take place around 6:20, and that will go on until 7:45. And then at 7:45, there will be a question-answer and discussion briefly about it. Okay, so that's kind of what's going on for tomorrow. Again, that's October the 24th. This is, again, one of the official commemorative pieces for the Million Woman Movement. And let's see. Ending the session for tomorrow will be panel discussion number three, which will take place approximately around 8 o'clock. As we said, the question and answer segment and brief discussion on the Ma'afa 21 will be from 6:20 to 7:45. There'll be a little break. And then around 8 o'clock, the last panel discussion will be reparations, restitution, remedies, plebiscite, sovereignty, self-determination, and community, village, nation building by any and all means necessary. Okay, so that's going to take place from 8 o'clock to 8:45. Again, what we'll cover in that panel discussion is the area of reparations, restitution, remedies, plebiscite, sovereignty, self-determination, and community, village, nation building by any and all means necessary. So for those who are in the Philadelphia area and you want to join us tomorrow, we invite you to come. We, again, will open the doors around 3:30 and begin the program around 3:45. It's a $5 admission. No one will be turned away. However, if you don't have the $5, we appreciate it if you do. You know, it helps to curtail some of the cost of what we're doing, because, as you know, we are not funded by the corporations and so forth. So any support that we get, we certainly appreciate. If you want more information, if you want a VIN, that's available to you as well. And you can contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call area code 267-636-3802. Again, that's our program for tomorrow as part of the Million Woman March 13th year commemoration at the Songhai City Cultural Center. Now, On Monday, of course, is the actual day, and that day, of course, is the anniversary day for the historic Million Woman March. Now, on Monday, there's going to be a very, very special press conference that's going to take place. We are going to convey something on Monday that has been in the mix for quite a while, and we are just so blessed and so pleased to be able to finally bring that information to you. Now, we're going to be at the Paul Robeson House, which is located at 4551 Walnut Street. The press conference will take place at 7 o'clock, but we will be there starting at 6 o'clock for a greet and meet for those folks who, again, who attended the Million Woman March in 1997 on October 25th. If you want to come out and connect with other folks who were there, supporters, people who were coordinators, and so forth. We're just going to spend a little time with each other from 6 to around 7 o'clock, you know, have some light refreshments, and, you know, really share some of the stories and the experiences of 1997 and also leading up to now. So, again, at 6 o'clock, we'll be at the Paul Robeson House, 4951 Walnut Street here in Philadelphia. And then at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a press conference, and that press conference, believe me, it's going to knock somebody's socks off, to say the least. Now, what we're going to get ready to do is go to our live line, because not only do we have Sister Pam Africa that's going to be joining us for the press conference, we've invited several other people. Of course, Sister Frances Austin, who is the director over at the Paul Robeson House, Sister Wanda Dickerson, who, of course, is the sister who her husband and herself, Brother Rob, are the fantastic founders and directors of the Universal Dance and Drum Ensemble, who have always been very supportive to the Million Woman March. We have Sister Wanda Dickerson joining us. And also we've invited Sister Fatima Gamble, who, of course, is the wife of Kenny Gamble. There are so many powerful sisters that are in the Philadelphia area, and we, of course, have really kind of hand-selected just a few at this point in time to join us for this particular press conference, because, again, it's so very important that people see the diversity of what we're doing and that we are, in fact, being very inclusive. As in 97, the doors were open for any sister that wanted to be involved, but this time, however, we're being a little more careful about who we really bring in, and this time we are going to make sure that, you know, we kind of safeguard some things a little better, but you all will know more about that very shortly, because we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But what we're going to do is also talk to a brother, because, again, when we talk about MWM, we don't just, you know, let people think that, oh, it's just about the sisters, it's just about the sisters. Well, certainly our primary focus and you know, most of what we do is about our sisters. You know, that is definitely where it's at. But we also make it very clear that we are also about our brothers. We are about our brothers, we are about our family, we are about our community, and there's no separation from any of that. So what we're going to do in a few moments is we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk to a brother who has always been very supportive of MWM. As a matter of fact, he's going to be a part of our press conference and a part of our commemoration on Monday. This brother's name, in fact, he's been on our radio program before, during the time when, unfortunately, we were examining some of the issues and various things related to, of course, what happened in New Orleans with Katrina. You know, this brother is a writer, an artist, a performing artist, a professor. I mean, he teaches, but, you know, probably for me more importantly than that is he's a brother. Okay, you know, a lot of times we take titles and all of that, and it's all good. It has its place. But before we became any of that, we were black folks, and certainly we were black folks who had an appreciation for one another. And, you know, that is the type of history and legacy that MWM is definitely going to continue to uphold. So before we start getting into some dialogue with some of our sisters, I see Sister Manira's sign on. We're going to have Sister Wasita coming in a little later on as well. And what we're going to do is, again, we're going to talk with our brother, Maurice Henderson, again, Brother Maurice Henderson, Professor Maurice Henderson. You know, and this family is an example of how we can obtain and do whatever we want in this system, but the key thing is don't get caught up. You know, don't get caught up with the titles. Don't get caught up with, you know, the various accomplishments. And as you will see with MWM, we are now going to bring on many accomplished people. But at the same time, we're going to make certain that we understand that we're going to do what we need to do in this system. But at the same time, we're going to remain who we are as a people. And with that, we're going to continue to strive for liberation. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our live line. We're going to talk to Brother Maurice briefly so that he could just share with you some of what he feels as a black man as it pertains to the Million Woman March and its movement. And then we're going to bring on some of our sisters, and we're going to really get into some rap with that, because this is a night of recognition, of commemoration, of celebration, because in a few days we will be observing the 13th year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere, and the true development of a national and global sisterhood, and also the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. So Sister Waseda and Sister Manira, you hang in there for one moment. We're going to bring our brother on for a moment, and then sisters, we're going to bust it up, okay? But let's go to our live line, and joining us is, again, a brother who is here in Philly who has, you know, shown his love and appreciation for the Million Women March and its movement, and who's going to be doing a special tribute on Monday when we have our session here in Philly. When we, you know, get ready to really let people know what it's really about, when we make some special announcements at our upcoming press conference. So, family, again, I want to bring to you, have you to meet if you haven't before. This is one of our brothers, and in fact, he's a brother who received one of our commemoration appreciation awards in June. He didn't get it in his hand yet, but he will, because actually we're going to have them ready on Monday. At least we hope to have them ready on Monday. But at any rate, I want you to meet Brother Maurice Henderson. Brother Maurice, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. How you doing tonight?
I'm going to say Hotep family.
Oh, my Hotep.
You know, and interesting, so you said movement, and the first word is move, and then you have men, and then, you know, and then that T means dynamite, and, you know, and so, you know, I'm going to honor you all for sisters, for, because you are women warriors, and all the things that you have done, because I come from your womb, so, you know, my job is to resurrect and protect everything that I came from.
That's right.
And, you know, and it's just so interesting, because 13 years ago, you know, I got up in, you know, in the morning, and God said, go someplace. And I began to walk. And when I got near the walkway, you know, there was a parkway, and I heard sounds. And then so God, he shifted my spirit and took me into the side of the stage. And then I heard Winnie Mandela and Betty Shabazz.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to move, and then as I was walking, and it was like I was my soul had to look back and wonder how I made it over, and I began to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Then God said, don't say a word, and then that was 13 years ago, so now I have a chance to say a word.
I know that's right.
And then you said, and see, the interesting thing you said, Million Women March, Hut 1, 2, 3, towards freedom.
That's right.
And then, so where do we go after here? And the mission statement, the public policy, mm-hmm. the advocacy, you know, being a lobbyist, you know, that all becomes from this generation that you all have created. And I learned one thing from young people, and then they said to me the other day, they said that, it is your commission that you gave us the thought. It's their job to take us into this new world order.
Hmm.
you know, and then it's so very, 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 very different. And I have to say this, that I come from a grandmother who was born in 1898. And she kept saying, great-grandmother, she kept saying, don't let them leave here alive. That was too much for me, you know, back then. And, you know, and so, you know, I'm honored and I'm enamored, you know, to be just a little light in the beacon of hope of the celebration.
Well, brother, you know that being, you know, in Philly and from Philly, you know how difficult it has been to raise this baby up, you know. And it's been a labor of love, but nevertheless, it's really been a labor, to say the least. And certainly I had no idea at the time what was really happening, what was really to happen. And then once I became aware of it, I just kind of, you know, dug my heels in and went for it. But the reality of it is, as I now look at it, I realize that nothing in this country that we have accomplished as a people has come easy. You know, it has always been something that took a lot of hard work, a lot of commitment, and in many cases, lives, you see.
Yeah.
So I looked at this past 13 years, and I realized that it really is a blessing because, indeed, we were able to be raised up off from the shoulders of those who had already made, you know, so many sacrifices and so many commitments. And we need to really be appreciative and recognize that we're able to do what we're doing now in the short period of time, even though it's been 13 years. It's still a short period of time considering everything else. So
yes.
With that said, when we make this announcement on Sunday, surely people will see that when we talk about radical, we understand and overstand that such a thing is going to be applied to the Million Women's Movement. And not from the negative connotation, but from the mere fact that radical can mean something that's very much advanced,
yeah.
You see, in terms of how it moves. You see, it's not dormant, it's not stagnant, it's not moving slowly, it has a certain flow to it. And so in that sense, they are going to see us move in a very radical kind of way because with what we're getting ready to accomplish, technically, it would take probably about 50 years.
Yes.
See, and people will be able to bear witness to that now.
But, you know, and the interesting thing is that I want all the listeners to get a clear understanding that this is the information age. And then, so I want them to receive this in all honesty. It is their job and their responsibility and their nurturing mechanisms to call someone, email someone, fax someone, have a discussion, mail. But then everybody has got to have a five-time principle in making a connection to someone to make sure that this is an informed destiny. And then, sister, what you did was a prophetical envisioning. You know, and then, you know, you've always been on the road less traveled. You know, but you know, but then remember that you were sent for yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Margaret Walker said, "For my people everywhere."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was very, very important. And I remember I heard Maya Angelou say, "There's a bomb in Gilead."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, and you know, and it's very, very important. So I have to honor you because, like, I understand that. All my difficulties and everything that I've been, when I turn around the corner, here you come, mother to son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so life for me ain't been no crystal stairway, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, what I wanted to do, because I don't want to keep you all, but I wanted to be able to give you all something to, you know, to leave you with, because I want this to be a part of, you know, the women's movement.
All right.
And so I want to say this. This is a piece that I wrote called Black, Black, Black Women. Black women, tub and truth, weedy wackers.
Black women, you don't have to change with the times, for you are the times, pointing with decimals of equations, no equal signs, but the problem still remains unsolved. And what shall we do? Shall we add, multiply, subtract, and divide? Black women, Colin Sparks, Tippin, Pittman, Shabazz, colorful are the pages of Tastic Old Time. Shall we sing to thee the praises of Chisholm, Hammer, Bethune, Jordan, have we loved you assiduously, while the others have loved you back? Your tears are a trumpet's calling, so I wine and dine over your sweet perfume, your leftover scent, your 10-hour working days. Shall I lay in the bosom of your struggle while the others pray to the Virgin Mary? Black women, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, Sanchez, Tyson, Simone, Sungay, blue are the depths of your souls, while tears over the morning, cries over the night. You are a trumpet's calling. Shall I wine and dine on your sweet perfume, your leftover scent? Why cries harbor the night? Because you are the storytellers, make-believers, griots, grandmas whose cornrows echo a thundery clap. Shall I wine and dine on your sweet perfume and your leftover scent? Black women, shall you cry again to sleep tonight? Shall your cup runs over into a fountain of youth so you can cry again tonight? Black women, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, Sanchez, Tyson, Simone, Sungay, blue are the depths of your toes, and tears harbor the morning, while cries harbor the night. Black women, shall I wine and dine on your sweet perfume, your leftover scent, your 10-hour working days? Black women, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi, MK Way Usi. Zifazo de Zinde Kwa, Zifazo de Zinde Kwa, Zifazo de Zinde Kwa. All praise to you, black woman. And I will understand restless nights while you were praying and wondering what happened to your missing children in Atlanta. Let us sit on the stoop and swap trade stories of hurt and misgivings. Black women, you've been pushed back. You've been pushed back to strength. You've been pushed back. You've been pushed back to strength. You've been pushed back not far enough. And I promise you, since the day that I was born, that I would love you forever. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. And every 5 minutes, every 4 minutes, every 3 minutes, every 2 minutes, every 1 minute, every day, you black women, you just disappear. How you just disappear? We need more. We need more. More women march. We need more. We need more women march. March. 1, 2, 3, towards freedom. Hut. 1, 2, 3, towards freedom. Hut. 1, 2, 3, towards freedom. Hut. 1, 2, 3, towards freedom. Freedom at last and forever. I thank you.
La, 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 la.
Stop. See, I don't play with you now.
What can I say? Oh, my goodness. Brother, you stay right there, because I'm feeling Sister Wasita, and I know she got something to say. Sister Wasita?
Yes, sister,
there?
I'm here. I am here.
I know
here.
You are.
I'm over here. First, give me a minute to get the chills out my body from the... Because he has seriously lit a fire in his soul tonight. I like to say hello to all the other listeners, especially my sisters, on this beautiful, beautiful Remembrance night. Gosh, where do I even begin?
Wow.
I first always give honor to God, because we can't do anything without God. He is definitely our leader, protector, provider. And I then want to give honor to you, Sister Empress Filet, for being obedient. And when our ancestors and the good Lord gave you the vision for the Million Women March, you did not procrastinate. You were obedient. And because of your obedience and persistence, we are here today stronger than ever, better than ever, and more appreciative of our blackness and sisterhood. So I say to you, thank you.
I say, give thanks.
So go ahead, sister. Start it off. I'm ready to roll.
Well, I mean, look, after hearing Brother Maurice, I'm still going, whoa, that was just so powerful, you know.
But you know what, sister and Brother Maurice, we needed that.
Mm-hmm.
We need that affirmation and security
mm-hmm.
and love from our brothers.
That's right.
You know, society has it all twisted that black women don't appreciate the black man. They do everything to divide us, black women, degrade black men. And see, the truth be told, black women love black men.
That's right.
And we want black men, and yeah. we need black men.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you know, and see, I have this other piece that says, women speak black so that our worries won't be the same, so the signs of intelligent life on this earth will never be the same. Women speak, you speak, and you speak. Speak, black women. And then everybody else is going to shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut it up. Okay. We ain't got to shut it up. Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
I heard through the grapevine, and I heard from the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always say my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, when you come from the womb of a woman and all of the struggles, sometimes you take on certain things. And I was going through certain things, and I was on the street. And I ran past Sister Filet, and she said, "Brother, sometimes women have to sleep standing up just in case something happens."
Mm-hmm. And she spoke the truth.
Yes, you know, and something about to happen. Okay, something about to happen. You know, so Sister Filet, I gotta get some sleep. I'm tired of sleeping standing up. Okay.
I know that's right. Well, my brother, thank you for calling in and for sharing. You know, not only the thought, but just the energy and the spirit of your words. And I see you on Monday.
And then I want to remind everybody who's in our listening voice and who knows somebody, it's our job, it's our responsibility, it's our goal, it's our objective, it's our evangelism. To each one, touch fire by phone call, by writing, by email, by discussing. And then when you come out to the event tomorrow at Shanghai, we got enough flyers for you to paper your house. You know, we got enough flyers for you to put in your windowsill, mm-hmm. on your car, when you go to the barbershop, when you go to the laundromat, and, you know, when you go to the supermarket, wherever you go, take a flyer and put it up, you know. And then, but also, this needs to have a discussion about where we are and where we need to be. I thank you all.
That's right, my brother, and I thank you. And again, I will see you on Monday.
Yes, ma'am.
And in leaving you, I say Ma'at Hotep, justice and peace.
Peace.
All right, family, we were just talking with Brother Maurice Henderson, and as you can tell, you know, his poetry and his words are extremely powerful. We have joining us on the line is Sister Wasita, who is, interestingly enough, getting ready to do a commemoration in the D.C. area, metro area, for the sisters who participated in 1997, because we're really talking about now connecting the dots and building further. So those who are really serious, really committed, and more importantly now, also that are ready to do what we said in 97, to continue to do what we said, and now to bring it forward to the next level. So we have joining us Sister Wasita, who, again, has her own organization now that came about as a result of the inspiration of the Million Women March. And this, sister, is proof of sisters all over the country. For those who were saying, oh, you know, that was just a day, you know, Sister Wasita, I'm just going to tell it like it is. Do you know there was a congresswoman who got on national TV. The congresswoman from D.C., Sister Wasita, got on TV in 98, I believe roughly a year after the Man Woman March, if not even sooner, got on the cable TV and said something about the Million Woman March. But what she said was not anything about, yeah, it was great or it was a fantastic accomplishment and blah. She got on there and said something about, well, you know, we really don't need another feel-good day. Can you imagine a black woman getting on national TV saying something that is history, made history, was done in such a way that no one ever would imagined, but then want to get on national TV and say something like, oh, well, you know, we need something more than a feel-good day. So I'm saying all that to say that with Sister Wasita and Sister Munira and other sisters all over the country, we want to say to our dear sister congressperson, later for you. Simple as that. And also,
whoever she may be, I would gladly welcome her to contact me because I have an organization called Sisters United, and that's S-I-S-T-A-S, Sisters United. And I would gladly welcome to sit down and have lunch with her and share with her all the positive things that come out of Sisters United, and first and foremost let her know Sisters United was created from the Million Women March.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to Philly on that day and the spiritual connection that I had with sisters that I had never seen in my life, and I felt like we grew up together, and listening to the messages of Winnie Mandetta, Betty Shabazz, you know, Sister Soldier, you know, Jada Pinkett. And knowing the platform, Sister Filet, that you laid down prior to us even getting to Philly. And I remember you saying you wanted us to go back to our places, wherever we live, and to create something positive that will go forth. And that message lingered in my heart. And as soon as I stepped foot back in D.C. area, I immediately began to pray, and God gave me the vision to start Sisters United. Once again, that's S-I-S-T-A-S.
Right.
Now, for this congresswoman who's in my area, I would like for her to know this. Sisters United, out of the Million Women March, we have created mentoring programs that have let our young girls grow up into young women and have left high school successfully and have gone on to college. I want her to understand that we have done food drives to feed the hungry in her area that the political people are not addressing. We want her to understand that when our kids went back to school every fall, Sisters United, out of the Million Women's March, had the strength and courage to obtain supplies to make sure our children were prepared. Not only our children, Sisters United packed boxes of school supplies for our teachers that the political people do not give money to so that they can get enough supplies to teach our children.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
What this sister don't understand, and I would love to meet her and also to share with her that it was Sisters United who have taken on high school seniors and made sure that they had their SAT testing paid for, their ACT testing paid for, that they were able to get their cap and gown, that they were able to enjoy their prom, a memorable time of their life, all out of an organization that was created, birthed out of the Million Women March. So this sister is totally misinformed, and it's ironic that she's in the vicinity that we are in. So I just want the listeners to know that it was more than just a feel-good day. I even, outside of creating Sisters United, I created my own business So when the economy went bad, I wasn't out in the street. Because my business called Demeso, D-E-M-E-S-O, which is Mandingo language for House of Help. So I didn't have to be on the street. You know, I wasn't begging bread.
That's right.
Because once again, that spirit and that encouragement from the Million Women's March told me that I could run my own business. So when everything went haywire and people were losing their jobs, I lost mine, but did I sweat? Not once, because I had already had a vision to start my own.
That's right.
So that one day to me was the rebirth of a nation. That's how powerful it was. And to this day, we are still going strong. We're to the point that we not only help sisters. Sister Filet, this past April, April the 2nd, Sisters United did their first Young Men Empowerment Day. Spent the whole day with a room full of young men. And that night had a black tie affair and gave each young man that participated a suit and a tie.
Whoa.
So this congresswoman is totally out of touch with reality and truth. Not only that, we have just started our returning citizen support group on Monday nights and Wednesday nights. We host support groups for sisters that are HIV positive. And on top of all of that, sister, let me bring it home to how powerful this Million Women March was. Do you know everything we've done, we have not had a grant.
Woo!
We get no sponsorships. We get no money. It's
wow.
The grace of God and the spirit of people who know the power of the black women, and they give.
Wow.
So the next time you see this congresswoman, if you ever come across her, can you give her my number?
No doubt. As a matter of fact, my sister, what I think need to happen is, since I'll be visiting the area very soon, perhaps we can put a meeting in there during that time period while I'm there.
Hey, I am open so that she can internalize what really happened. And that's why here in the D.C. area, I constantly tell the sisters, stay away from what media really has to say about us. Because they will try to divide and conquer us.
That's right.
They don't know us. So how can you tell us which way to go and what to do? You have no concept. And you telling us about this congresswoman was a clear and plain example. They have no concept of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are powerful.
Yes,
we are
indeed.
Beautiful. And for the listeners, I like to invite everyone, if you can make it, on November the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Veterans Day. The federal government closed, banks are closed, you know, credit unions closed. Here in the D.C. area, I am hosting a D.C. Million Women March reunion for the D.C. area, and all are welcome. And we are honored. Sister Filet will be coming down to speak to the sisters. We have a great day planned for the sisters. And the theme of this reunion is simply titled, Reconnecting and Rekindling the Spirit. It's definitely time for us to relive that day in history and bring that power back so that we can move forward throughout the 21st century and beyond.
No doubt. And Sister Wasita, you know, it's so wonderful because we are witnessing really the timing. You know, it's such a perfect timing that this is now happening, because we're coming up upon some things from a what one might call a universal or metaphysical standpoint. You know, a lot of people are in tune to what we feel is going to be happening in 2012. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so even if it's not to the extent where some people have more or less prophesized or proclaimed it's going to be, just given the time period that we're in now, we know that within the next 2 years, there's going to be some serious things going on. That's more than obvious. So whether someone has said it or predicted it, just by looking outside your window, you can pretty much tell and determine that some very serious things are going to happen. So just like in 1997, I think it's important that we now make certain that history, our history, as far as the Men and Women March is concerned, we have to make sure that people really understand that, one, it wasn't a response to the Million Man March. It wasn't to try to outdo them or to show them up or to jump on a bandwagon or anything like that. Surely we seized the time, but certainly how we did what we did, our focal points and so forth were extremely different. So with that said, we knew in 97 that one thing we had to do, number one, we had to do something that would allow our women to begin to connect, and we laid the groundwork for that. But there were some key reasons that we had to do what we do. For example, we knew in 95 that the Clinton administration was getting ready to make some critical moves in social programs, and that many of those critical moves were going to affect black women specifically, because it had to do with welfare and various other things that were directly having an impact on black women. And we knew that there was not really a black woman's organization on a national level that was geared to really go up against any of that, because most of your organizations were, in fact, funded by the government. So they had, their hands were going to be tied. So we knew this. So essentially, we knew that the plan to begin to destroy the black family, even to a greater extent than they already had, was in place. Because up till that point, it was always our men that were under attack. I mean, point blank, straight up. Mm-hmm. But we knew in 95, it was getting ready to come on the sisters like we ain't never seen before, that the target was going to be the women. Because they had to have our children. And they knew that 9 times out of 10, a black mother, no matter how crazy she was, no matter how whatever she was, she was going to fight for children.
Without
that
a doubt.
History has shown that.
Yes.
So what they do, they made sure that the crack cocaine would begin to become more readily infiltrated into our communities. And for the first time, we saw black women do something that had never been done before during slavery, during depression, during whatever. Never saw what we saw in those few years with that crack cocaine thing. So that was the first little thing. Then, not little, but that was the first nudge. Then, once they put the other structures in place, we knew that the next thing was to begin to incarcerate our women. Then, of course, to get access to the children. So all these things begin to go. So the bottom line, my sister, is there had to be some things put in place to begin to go up against the system in a very realistic way. So the Million Woman March not only was to focus on the various issues that we put on the table, which, of course, was health and education and this, that.
Mm-hmm.
There were some key things that we didn't even talk about at that time, because it wasn't time to talk about it, but we were always getting prepared and ready for it. So I'm just sharing tonight with our family some of the other things that were very key in the formation of the Million Woman March. It was not a reactionary thing. There were some very well thought out things that were key elements for the Million Woman March. So, sister, you are so right on point in knowing and feeling the spirit and then acting on it and doing something, you know, very, very concretely, very concisely about our mission You applied what you heard, even though you didn't have all of the, you know, the other components. And again, and I have to stress this, it was not meant for me to tell or to say or to map out all of the things that we really were focusing on and doing. And at the time, I didn't realize why. I didn't realize why I could not really, you know, give more information and all that. Well, as it turns out, if I had a, those who were really attempting to destroy us would have had more to work with.
Exactly. Because you laid your whole hand out on the
table. That's right. That's right. And little did I know that it was so close to me. The betrayal and the sabotage were so close to me, I would have been blindsided. I would have never expected from whence it was coming. You see,
mm-hmm.
So if they had had the information that was given to me at the time of the conception of the Men and Women March, then they would have had an upper hand for real. Fortunately, because they didn't, they couldn't go nowhere, couldn't do nothing.
And one of the beautiful things about the Million Women March is it was brought together without any major sponsorship.
That's right.
Without any governmental supplements, you know.
That's right.
It showed the genuine spiritual power of the black woman.
That's right.
And my organization down here in the D.C. area is a continuance of that power. And every day we're planting seeds into other young black sisters so that they too are equipped to
right.
now join us. I know there's going to be many of young women that come to the reunion on November the 11th
mm-hmm.
that wasn't there at the original march. However, because of a family member that went, a grandmother, aunt, a mother, or whatever, came back, and she kept that legacy alive, and she told that story, that foundation is now in that young black sister. So now she's ready to be groomed and ready to roll. So if people thought that 1997 was something, they better hold on.
That's right.
We have yet to begun.
That's right. And sister, that is just, you know, such a beautiful way to put that, because, you know, I've been saying to others previously that, you know, it's been 13 years, and with what we have accomplished in 13 years, I am really amazed. I said this to Brother Maurice earlier, that with what we're going to announce on Monday, and even tonight share, for example, when you mentioned, my sister, that, you know, to do this in the manner that we did it. First of all, let me just say that one of our elders, who is now an ancestor, when he asked me to visit with him before, you know, right, actually a few months before he became an ancestor, and I'm speaking of Baba Kwame Ture, also known as Stokely Carmichael, I sat with him, and he said to me, he said, do you know what I liked about the Million Woman March? And, you know how he talks. He's very animated. He's very, you know. And I said, no, Baba, what was it? What did, is it that you specifically like? He said, the way you did it. And I know, he said, you didn't depend on this and that and the media and the money. He said, no. You know, the way you did it, and he said to me, and you keep on doing it the way you think you need to do it. And when he told me that, sister, I was just, you know, it really just confirmed that,
right.
you
right.
know, I was doing exactly what I needed to be doing, the way I needed to be doing, because this was someone who had walked the walk, talked the talk.
Yes.
You know, this is someone who had experienced being in Mississippi, you know, walking those walks and being put in jail and then, you know, dealing with some real forms of liberation, which I can't elaborate on at the moment, but, you know, some real forms of liberation. So when he said that to me, I was like, okay, thank you very much. So now as we move forward, and the thing I need to share with you, my sister, is this. I'm here to make certain now that our sisters do have the resources and things to work with, and still without buying into the system, and still without begging, and still without kissing behind, and still without, you know, the things that most people have to jump through these hoops and this and that. We ain't going to do that.
All right.
So on Monday, and I could say part of this tonight, but on Monday I'll go into it more extensively to so that our sisters and our people will know. We are getting ready to put our own product line for hair and skin and personal care. It's going to be our line. We will hire our own people. We will manufacture it ourselves. We will distribute it ourselves. And especially sisters that are coming out of prison, we're going to hire them. They're going to have
all
a job.
Right. All right.
Those sisters that are going through other transitions, they're in a home where they're being abused and they have no way out. Because, see, it's one thing to tell somebody, you know, you're being abused, so don't be leaving. Well, leave and do what? Go where?
Exactly.
You know,
well,
let's keep real with this here.
You're right.
Do how? And you got children?
You know,
so
exactly.
There has to be some other way. So now we have some answers. We now have some answers. And the answers are, we know we're dealing with a $1 billion business industry. We know that for the most part, there are not a whole lot of companies or entities that are literally producing. So now we need to partner with the ones that are, in addition to, first and foremost, creating our own. So we've created components that will literally distribute our product, and we've also built allies that are interested in investing in us as women. Now, you know, all over the country, you have different governments that provide microloans to women.
Wonderful.
You
wonderful.
Understand what I'm saying? So here
yes.
we are, the largest gathering in the world of women. You don't think a government wants to partner with us, to invest with us? We ain't talking about big business.
We've already shown the power, the sincerity,
absolutely.
The sisterhood, the unity. We've
absolutely.
Already shown them what we have, you know?
Absolutely.
Who would not want to market into that? I could be selling some bubble gum, and I'd be calling you saying,
that's
hey,
right.
can you get the sisters to try this bubble gum?
That's
you
right.
know?
Absolutely. So this is why it was so necessary to try to impede or to try to keep us from moving forward, because they knew that if we were ever really able to organize our sisters, our women, they had a problem on their hands. And now they got a real problem on their hands, because we've come full circle. We've weathered the storms, and we know the nature of the game. And so now it's time to take care of business, for real. See? So these are some of the things that we now will be able to provide to our sisterhoods. But again, in keeping in the spirit of what it is that we started in 97, and now we can do that because we've cleaned house
mm-hmm.
to the you know greatest extent. You know, any other kind of, you know, rubbish or whatever that's going on in there is easily disposed of. But we can now move forward in a way where there's clarity and in a way where, you know we can accomplish what it is that we must. So
And you know, sister, many of the sisters down here as I go to and fro and talking to, they are eager to rekindle this spirit and move forward.
That's right.
Because our sisters have gone through so much within these 13 years, and they are now ready to move forward to make things better for themselves, their family, the community, their children. You know, it is time. You spoke about timing, and I believe this is the perfect timing, you know, for reconnecting and for the truth.
That's right.
The truth, because I truly believe there are many people who do not know the true facts about the Million Women March, because I've also taken a poll on various women and asked them, you know, did you go to the march? Oh, yeah, sister, I was there. I caught the bus, blah, blah, blah. I was like, right on, cool. Then I said, okay, what did you go for? What was the purpose? I said, see, I'm not going to hold that against you. Mm-hmm. I said, but see, what I need for you to do right now is to now receive the facts so we can move forward. I said, because your reaction telling me, remind me of some Christians on Sunday after church. Woo, Lord, Pastor sure did preach. All right, sister, what did he talk about? I forgot. I don't know, but he sure did preach. And you say, we can't continue going on with following things and not knowing what we're getting into.
That's right.
We need to know facts. We need to know data. We need to know procedures and steps. Mm-hmm. If we're going to get involved, we need to make conscious and educational decisions, because people have led us astray for years.
That's right.
It's time for the buck to stop here. You know, so I'm excited about the reunion. And for the listeners that are listening, if you're interested in coming to the D.C. area reunion, my phone number is 240-423-0958. Once again, the phone number is 240-423-0958. Or you can also go to our website, which is www.sisters, and we spell it S-I-S-T-A-S, and that's sistersunited.net, and that's our website. We'd love for you to come, and for those who can't make it, send us a letter to our P.O. box so we can share with the sisters at the reunion. Whether you're there physically or spiritually, we are all connected.
That's
so
right.
I don't want any sister to feel like they're not welcome or they're alone. You're never alone. 1997, October 25th, showed the world no black woman out here is alone.
Well, my sister, we are now going to not only show them that they're not alone, but we're going to really begin to make some serious statements in our actions in some other ways as well. You know, in these past 13 years, it's certainly given me the opportunity to analyze some of the situations that we are in presently, as well as some of the projections. But a lot of times we do not really look at coming up with ample solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we realize now is that we have to begin doing certain things. So very soon, the action plan, and just as you're indicating, my sister, we got to know not only the history, but we have to know the steps and the various other things.
Yes.
And that's what's getting ready to be really brought forward. And one of the things that's really going to make a serious difference with what we do with the Million Woman Movement is we're going back in the hood.
All right.
You see, we deal with tradition. And as I was talking with you, Sister Wesley, the other day, and I mentioned, and now we can tell the truth and the realness of what happened in 1995, 6, and 7. Because for real, the Million March didn't start in 1997. It started in 1995. Now, it didn't become, public until 1997, of course, but it literally was underground operating in 1995, and we can validate that and prove that. But the key thing is now to, again, demonstrate how and why we are so different. And, again, with what we now do nationwide, we can ready to go back into our communities. Rather than to talk about these young sisters, our young girls, our young daughters, nieces, cousins, and whatever, rather than to just keep talking about and watching how they're acting, we're going to go back in our community and start dealing with it.
That's what I'm talking about, the genuine grassroots.
Absolutely.
Love it.
And producing the things that challenging them. And providing alternatives, because, again, a lot of things that's happening is a response to what it is they're being presented with.
Exactly.
So if we're presenting them something else, and it's so in your face, we already know what the outcome is going to be. So it's up to us to now provide that. So, again, we're going to elaborate on some of these things on Monday, and again, when I come there on November the 11th. But the point is this. Those sisters that are listening, particularly you sisters, it is so important now that we step our game up, really step up our game. We have so many wonderful sisters all over this country, talented, I mean bad sisters, doing so many things. Mm. What we haven't had up till now is a centralized kind of entity that allows us to plug into that, and we're able to disperse of those energies and talents in a very operational kind of manner. We haven't had that. We don't have that. We do now, you see. We've been too splintered. We've been too, you have a group here, you got a group there, or whatever, whatever. And then the other thing that has been a major problem is we are too kind of dismissed or segregated from one another based on religion.
Yes.
Based on economics.
Yes.
Based on, well, I have a degree, and they don't. Or, you know, all of these things.
You know, sister, I hate to cut you, but check this out. Even those with degrees battle among themselves. Look at sororities. They got the AKAs and the Deltas and this and
that's
that.
Right.
They going against each other, and they all, what, sororities.
That's right.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
Go right here, sister.
But again, and so this is what we're talking about now. We have a sisterhood that we're building. And the entry or the admission or the membership or whatever is going to be pretty fundamental, and that is that you're black, that you are melanated, you know. And so the religion thing, we're not going to get into any of that beyond a certain point. We're going to deal with spirituality.
Yes.
We're not going to get into what you got or don't got. It's not going to be an issue. What we are going to do is see how we can support one another and so forth and so on. But, again, I don't want to elaborate on much of that tonight. I just want to give a general idea of what it is we're literally preparing to do. Now, I also want to remind everyone that's listening that tomorrow our sister station, or I really could say brother station, just want to put this in there as we're dialoguing, because tomorrow from 9 to 11, Sister Wasita, if you can, call in, because Sister Pam will be joining us live, as well as Sister Basima, who is also from Philly, but she's also now the fourth Vice President General of the UNIA.
Oh, bless
she will
her.
Be
yeah.
live,
yeah.
And we're going to be with Harambe Radio tomorrow night.
Okay,
now, we talked earlier about our brothers. Of course, we had Brother Maurice, you know, share some poetry with us. Well, tomorrow, Brother Delani Aman, who has another brother who has been supportive to us in such a tremendous way. Before I started doing this show on blog radio for the past 3 years, I was on Harambe Radio. See, to make certain that the messages that we're, you know, that we needed to have out then and now was there. You see, we've been consistent straight through. We're the national office is the only entity that can say on a national level it has been totally consistent in making certain that we've been available to anyone. As I said to you, sister, we had the same P.O. box mail address that we had in 1996, the very same one. So if anyone ever wanted to reach out to us, we were available, you see. But see, now we're going to take on the responsibility to make it real easy for them, okay? Now, before we do that, I have someone who wants to make a comment. Your last number is 8640. Let's see who we have here. Caller, did you want to share a comment or something you want to say about the Million Woman March?
Well, good evening, Empress. I certainly do. If you give me a minute, I'll do it.
Sister Marcina, we just talked to our brother Delani.
Welcome, brother.
Welcome, sisters. I just want to let the entire listening audience know that not only is the Million Woman March going to be on the agenda 9 until on Harambe, but we're going to start the festivities at noontime, and we're going to run all the way until probably midnight with, you know, the programming that we have lined up, and also you coming on live at 9 o'clock. So we want everybody to find some time, sometime between noon and midnight, to tune into Harambe and catch the celebration of the sisters live in living color.
All right, wow. All right, family, you got it right there. And, of course, you can hear this online by going to Harambe. Is it haramberadio.com, Brother Johnny?
Haramberadio.com.
All right.
Go there and just click on Listen Live, and it'll be running all day, and they can tune in anytime they want. We know most people are only going to listen to half of it, but if they make half of it, that should be okay.
All right, very
wonderful,
good.
Wonderful.
So, again, congratulations, sister. You stay in there, keep doing the work, and we're going to get to the other side of this sometime before we leave the planet.
You know that's right. Well, hey, brother, I have a motto, and that is, and in fact, I oftentimes remember, and we talked about this before, what it is that our dear brother Khaled has said to us on numerous occasions, from the cradle to the grave.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
And I always say, if one woman can save a family, a million can save the world.
That's right.
Yes, that is definitely possible. Well, I'm looking forward to you folks being on Harambe tomorrow. And like I said, the listening audience can tune in. And it is a day that we should take out, not just the day, but it's a special day. And we think that normally people on Sunday will find something spiritual to do. Maybe they can trade places with what they have planned and do Harambe tomorrow all day long, and find God that way.
Now, that's right. Well, you know, it's really, that is so appropriate, Brother Delani, because I think in most all of what we've heard in scripture and philosophies and so forth, in most, if not all of what I remember, there's been something that lent to the thought process of exhibiting what it is that you're being taught through your work.
Right.
So with that said, you know, it can't just be that people read different things or, you know, go back and forth with one another in conversation. It has to be about doing something. So again, you know, for folks that feel spiritually inclined, certainly if you tune in tomorrow, you're going to get motivated to do something, because that's really what our broadcasts are about. It's not just about providing you with information and so forth. As we said often, it's really to help get you to the point of doing some form of action.
Yeah, and
yes.
I know from the Christian standpoint, you know, we are taught faith without works is dead.
That's right. That's right.
And also, you can judge a tree by the fruit that it bears.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
So to answer your question, you're correct. I just came to you through the Christian faith, but I'm
mm-hmm.
sure every other faith has something that alludes to the same thing. We have got to be proactive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, family, as you know, I mean, this is a wonderful time period. We've just seen, of course, a tremendous gathering for the Million Man March commemoration, the 15th year commemoration. They just had a very successful and very beautiful gathering in Tampa last week. And now here we are this week with really preparing now to launch some things that it's going to be pretty powerful. Brother Donnie, tomorrow when I come on the radio program, I'm going to provide some insight into something that I'm going to announce for Monday. We are now ready to really launch some very key things. And Sister Wasita, I don't know if you heard, Brother Donnie, Sister Wasita had mentioned how for 13 years she has had a group that was inspired by the Million Woman March, that it, too, received no corporate sponsoring, no grants and so forth. And so, you know, Sister Wasita, this is something that Brother Delani and I have been talking about from the time that we've met one another, how we, you know, encourage people to know and understand how important it is to be self-determined, self-sufficient.
Yes. Oh, I'm with you all the way, 150%. Amen to that.
Yeah, and that's the best way to get it done. And Empress, I want to let you know that you have you should have received an email about tomorrow's activity so that you can get it back out to your listserv in time for them to catch it tomorrow. So yeah, I just sent that to you.
Okay,
so
great.
So we look forward to working with you folks as always. And when you come on tomorrow, you know, you take over like you always take over. Just don't even think about it. I'm masquerading like I know what I'm doing, but you know you're going to come on and do your thing. And also for the listening audience out there, I want them to go to Harambe TV and see how well Empress does on TV, like when we were in Philly a couple weeks ago. So you see, no stranger to Harambe Media, and you'll find that out tomorrow if you tune in.
No doubt. Well, I'm looking forward to it, my brother. There would be no other place I could think of to be than on Harambe Radio. I mean, you know, it's such a important role and important place in my heart, you know, at this point in time. And certainly to be, you know, with the Harambe family tomorrow, that just is the prelude to what we're going to do on Monday, you know. So it,
well, that's
it's
great,
right,
Empress, but you know what I've been saying all along, that we don't have the same luxury that a lot of other people have about making excuses. I mean, I can't come on for 1 hour tomorrow for the Million Woman March, you know, like these other folks is working for crackers. You know, they'll just try to sneak something in there. We gotta go all day because we run this joint.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, and again, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but Philadelphia, they really blew. They really messed up because here they had this jewel, this diamond in its city. And because of their pettiness, because of their just political bullcrap, they you know, tried to push it to the side. And now they're going to be faced again with a real dilemma, because in 97 there was a big issue with the city of Philadelphia because they didn't really know nothing about the Million Woman March. People were calling them up asking them, well, what's going on and what's happening? Because when people heard it was in the city of Philadelphia, people that were outside of Philly just thought that, okay, well, we'll call the city, you know, hall and get information or whatever. They had no information. Because
no
they had nothing to do with
it.
Okay, so we had people who said when they was calling, you know, different agencies and stuff in Philly trying to get information, they couldn't. Well, that's right, they couldn't, because it wasn't that kind of party. We had to make certain that people understood that while we were following the procedure that we had to follow to obtain, you know, a permit and this and that and the other, the bottom line was we weren't really trying to, you know, interact with these people like that. That was intentional. But the bottom line is now they realize that they can't control us. They tried over the years. They tried to get people who were involved on committees do it for 97. They've since tried to get those people involved in their various groups and operations so they could try to, you know, wrangle us in or the middle of Washington. They can't wrangle me in, period. So they've tried over the years. They didn't succeed, so now they've kind of, you know, left it alone. But at the same time, they don't want to give it any recognition or any real play or whatever. Well, now, on Monday, city officials, city council members, and so forth will receive letters that say, you know, it's unfortunate that you all did not give, you know, due to something that was so historic in the city, that you didn't, you know, even give it what you have given the mummers or some other major thing that's happened in the city. Well, now we don't really even seek that, but this is what's going to happen. Just based on the reality of the matter, we will demand that the city of Philadelphia and the state of Pennsylvania, they will now have to put up a plaque, you see, in recognition of the largest gathering in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania. Now, this move, it has nothing to do with the city officials or whatever. This is what is known as historical preservation, which comes under a whole other kind of operation, you see.
So you're not trying to give them people a heart attack, are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And see, this is something that the people – our people in Philadelphia will support, because the bottom line is all over the city of Philadelphia you have these different, you know, kinds of signs and stuff that say this is what happened here, you know, this is what happened this period in time, and you have these kind of postings up to give recognition to historical happenings in Philadelphia. They're all over the city. So black folks are always about making sure that that happens for us because, you know, we always have to fight for that. So I'm saying, again, that our people in the city will stand up for this, because even if there is a police officer that might have been killed in duty or a fireman that was maybe killed on duty, they'll put something in the ground. A plaque or a plate or something in the ground in recognition of that. So the argument has been, and our dear brother Elder Gossett from over the UNIA is the one that really helped to echo this out clearer. We are now going to say, look, if you felt that it was an honorable thing that you would put a plaque in the ground for a fallen hero of yours, or some other kind of, you know, something that you put up to make people remember that so-and-so slept here, well, then
right.
Y'all got to put something up to say the largest gathering in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and in the world was here.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Well, you know, if it was a cracker, it would already be one up about 100 feet tall.
Exactly.
No,
and
yeah.
Lit up 24/7, and you know, line around it and hold and chain. You know, they would do
That's
it.
That's right. Well,
and
we
and
are
the
not
about
let them forget it.
And the thing about it, Sister Filet, you're not asking for anything unfair.
That's right.
Do for one, do for the other. We'll
and
make
see,
yours. Yeah.
And see, the reality is, it's so apropos, it's so on point, because Philadelphia. And this is why we always point out, know your city. As it pertains to black folks and as it pertains to what white folks have done to us and so forth, know, and this is something that we are going to now teach and train as part of the Million Women Movement, and that is our sisterhoods and our affiliates and so forth are going to have certain kinds of things that we ask them to do as a part of being the Million Woman Movement, and that is know your city, know your state as it pertains to black folks. Why? Because we need to be clear and abreast of what's going on. So, again, like for Philadelphia, our sisterhood in Philadelphia, they're going to know some of the key operations here. And one of the things that Philadelphia is known for is its history. They are very adamant about keeping history. Even when they don't want to, that's one of their pride things. Why? The Declaration of Independence, the first White House, the first this and that is Philadelphia. You see? So even the white folks that really don't want to do something, when it comes to history, it forces their hand. You see, because they pride
themselves.
Well,
let's just see how fast they move, you know, on this particular issue. I want to see how fast they move.
Yeah,
keep me posted.
Will we see it in the 21st century or beyond?
Yeah.
And I just want to say something, Brother Delani. My organization, Sisters United, which is SISTAS, on November
uh-huh.
the 11th, we're going to host a D.C. area Million Women March reunion. And that's going
okay.
to be in the D.C. area. And Sister Filet can give you all of my information. And I'm excited. Sister Filet will come down and speak. And we're doing it on Veterans Day. And I made it clear to the sisters, no excuse why you can't be there. Your good federal government job is closed. The bank is closed. The credit union closed.
And what day is that next month?
It's going to be on Veterans Day, November the 11th. From
okay.
1 to 4. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's great. That's happening in D.C., huh?
Right,
yes,
right. And
yes.
What will happen,
yeah.
Sister Juanita will call into the radio program tomorrow night and, of course, provide this information as well, because, Brother Donnie, you have
okay.
a lot of listeners in that D.C. area.
Well, that's my hometown. That's St. Gore's hometown.
Right.
And, yeah, we got quite a few people up there that we kind of hang out with. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know Brother St. Gore. You tell him you spoke with Sister Juanita with Sisters United.
Okay. Yeah, he just got back from Los Angeles a couple of days ago, and so he's kind of calming down from that because he was on such a high about being out there and talking to the brothers and sisters out there on the West Coast.
Wow.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and then we're headed next month going down to Atlanta for the African Holocaust Conference. That's November 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'm going to be speaking there Friday and Saturday. And so we're going to be talking about that. You know, it's a lot of stuff going on. We just got to keep the energy moving.
That's
exactly.
right.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, I did see someone did send me something about that, and I really had wished that the Man Woman March would have gotten an invitation to participate, and that's something else that we're going to start raising with these various groups. I mean, you know, I don't expect white people to acknowledge or honor our history, but I certainly not only expect, but I have to now demand that our so-called black organizations or African-centered or conscious community, we can no longer allow our own people to try to sweep us underneath the carpet.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I'm going to make it
Single
a point.
Single and I have this talk all the time that some of the people around the country should be given an invitation to all these events. I mean, mm-hmm. without even thinking about whether they will get one or not, it should be just as automatic as anything else.
Exactly. As I have a master distribution list. Matter of fact, Singor is on it. So any and every bit of information that I know and I distribute to the masses, he himself gets that information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we collectively, if we can just improve the communication, that would just be awesome. And I mean communication among each other.
I think what Sister Filet is mentioning right now is not so much the mechanics of the mailing list, it's who's on the list and who's speaking where is
right.
what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That people are overlooking certain people, and we don't want to say that it's intentional, but
right.
it seems like if you think about it, that, like we said, certain people ought to be on the invitation list, not the mailing list, but
mm-hmm.
the invitation list.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I kind of stay away from it because I know it's politics involved.
That's right.
And I kind of am protective when I see certain things that I don't think is right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know when these people sit down to do this stuff how they could have this long list and not have Filet on it, not have Singor on it. I don't understand that.
Mm.
Well, Brother Jelani, like you said, you know, we try not to say anything, but see, I've reached a point now where, no, I'm going to say something. I've had a discussion over the past months with Brother Shep in New York, and we were supposed to meet on several occasions to discuss this because I had kind of noticed that this was happening over the past few years in particular. And I began to raise issue with it. As you well know, Brother Delaney, I've sent a few communications out addressing what I felt was intentional. And, you know, again, I'm going to say it that way because I think that it's time now that sisters in particular begin to take a certain position in this. Now, I've had this conversation with a few sisters over the years, a couple of our good sisters from AAPRP, and interestingly enough, this particular kind of situation is something that has occurred in organizations, our organizations over the years, meaning that it's not a secret that women in our liberation organizations, okay, and civil rights organizations and whatever, their voices would be heard to the degree that the men wanted them to be heard. Okay, it's no secret, and we need to stop fronting and stop acting like there's some kind of real equality going on up in here. So fortunately, though, there are a few organizations that really have put forth an effort to try to, you know, change that. And I will say the AAPRP is one of those organizations, and I know that to be true because I've not only talked with brothers, but I've talked with sisters, you know, who make it very clear that, you know, this is why they have a sister component within the organization, to make certain that the sisters' voices are heard loud and clear. Bottom line is a lot of the organizations that exist today still have a certain kind of, if not written policy, certainly an operational policy where the women are really not being brought forward. So, again, Sister Waseda and Brother Delaney, I believe strongly that one of the not only positions for MWM now, one of the missions for MWM now is to make it very clear that that's done. It's over. It's over. Now, if a sister decides that she wants to be subjugated or put in a situation where her voice is not going to be heard or she's not going to be respected for her ability and skill and so forth, then so be it. That's her choice. But it's not going to be because she feels it has to be that way.
Yeah. Well, I know I must be a dinosaur because I still think of women as the people you need to contact to get things done. And, you know, and if you don't figure that out, you shouldn't even be in this position. That's why I like sitting going with the UNIA, because you can see, obviously, since he's been in there, certain things you weren't used to seeing as it pertains to women. But some of these brothers around the country that don't understand that about women, that, you know, they have to come down off of that post, because women, I mean, we talk about them being out front and being able to say stuff. Well, they've already been doing the work. You know, it's not like there's some requirement that they're not fulfilling and we want them to go up front because they look good. No, they've been doing the work all along.
But, Brother Delaney, that work is one thing.
So it's not a question about, you know, whether they deserve to be out front. They should be out front.
No, but, Brother Delaney, like you said, no, you're not a dinosaur, brother. You're just a real black man. Okay? Let me just put that on the record. See, there's a difference, and it's not something that we have to make sure it happens now for real. I know of brothers who talk about the greatness of the black woman and the beauty of the black woman and the this and that of the black woman, but when it comes to really not only appreciating our ability, our just a way to do what we do and so forth, that is not even in the, that's not nowhere in the mix. So what has to be really understood now is that we as women will no longer tolerate it. See, that's been the key thing up until now. And again, family, brothers and sisters, and enemies too, we're not talking about this white woman's liberation thing. That's not what we're talking about. So before y'all take my words out of context, let me just go on record to saying that. Not talking about white women's liberation, not talking about women's liberation, not talking about none of that. We're talking about representing the mother of civilization, period. Straight up. Now, you're not going to disrespect that. And if you do, you need to be ready for some consequences. White women,
well, you heard what I said. Anyone that doesn't have that right now in as a focus, I mean, women in general, they should step down because they have outlived their usefulness. Anytime the women are doing all this work around the country, I mean, every single place I go where we're supposed to be the contest community, it's almost like a foregone conclusion that you're going to run into a bunch of women that are really behind making this stuff happen.
Sure.
And, you know,
sure,
me as someone that gets around, I have an extreme appreciation for people like Sister Kosowa, you know, in Philadelphia, and a lot of these places where you know as a result that they are connected to it, that it's already squared away. You know, that the things you typically would worry about, you don't have to worry about.
I don't agree.
Now, some of these events are male-dominated, and I think, Empress, you probably see that when you look at the invitation list, you know, where they're skipping over all of the real expertise. Because women are very good at planning, and if you leave them out of that, I mean, I'm just surrounded by outstanding women here at Harambe, and that's why I run so smoothly. I wouldn't be crazy enough to be trying to do this with men, you know, unless I'm just trying to fail.
Remember, it's one thing to be able to do the work. That's one thing. it's another thing to be in the position where you are actually an administrative operational person, and in that, what you say, what you do is upheld in the same way as anyone else. Now, with you, it's different. That works with you. I mean, you do that. But I'm saying, generally speaking, and as you said, it's true, sisters, they do the work. They know how to do the work, and they do the work. But that is not the same as them being at the table. Not the same. And believe me, I've seen it. I've had to battle my way through some stuff because, overall, the sister's voice in certain circles is not one where anybody really wants to hear it. And it's structured in such a way that they ain't going to hear it. And if you ain't coming in with guns blazing, they will maneuver you out.
Well, I came along at a time where, you know, I listened to my mother. I had a grandmother. My first dental instructor was a woman. I mean, I've been surrounded by a lot of great women. And you know, if you ignore that, you're not going to get nearly as far as you would or you could.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always telling men that, you know, they're missing the boat because I see it happening all the time. Even in my dental practice, I used to usually keep 6 full-time women. People would be like, why do you have all these women working for you? It's like, are y'all crazy?
Do y'all know what y'all saying?
You know, I know they're just stupid. They just don't even understand it. Let me go because I don't want to be ranting and raving on somebody else's program. This is not Harambe.
Hey, brother, you know, any time, no, indeed, we are one.
Yes.
So that's not it at all.
I called to give good news about tomorrow, so
all
I don't
right.
want to beat everybody up tonight about something else.
All right, well, we'll beat them up some more tomorrow then.
Yeah.
It has definitely been a pleasure.
Yeah, these men are just dinosaurs, and they've been raised by some people that have led them to believe the very opposite of what is true. And so, yeah, they try to go through their life running things instead of doing stuff together with women. They want women to have certain roles. And I think that if you're a man, you have to let women reach their full potential, and you can't have any limitations. You can't say, well, you can do this, this, and this, but you can't do this, this, and this.
Right.
Men should be
right.
like that because we kind of are limited about getting stuff done, except we think we're men, and that gives us some right. But in reality, I mean, I'm thankful for all the women that I've been around in my lifetime that I've seen getting it done top to bottom, you know, coast to coast, and that's just how I've always seen it.
Wow, my brother, I want to just let you know that I certainly appreciate you being the black man that you are, and you know, I know, and we said this earlier, we say from the cradle to the grave, but within that scope, we also realize that it is incumbent upon us to make certain that we're victorious. So we're not just talking about fighting this struggle from the cradle to the grave, we're also talking within that whole operational context of really winning this battle, and within. Of course, some things will not occur in our lifetime, but listen, as far as I'm concerned, some of this stuff, we're going to get done.
Yeah, we want to see it happen on our watch. We don't want to have
That's
to
right.
be passing on to some
That's
other
right.
folks saying, well, we couldn't get it done. We hope
That's
y'all
right.
can get it done. I mean, I don't want to leave nothing behind. I want to try to lay it all out there. You know. But let me just say this. See, from my standpoint, I make a lot of decisions on a daily basis, but very few times do I make a decision where I don't check with a sister somewhere just to get a second opinion about it.
Wow.
I don't think that, you know, I'm so heavy and so bright that I can just do all this stuff and I don't have to check in with anybody. I mean, a lot of it, people may say, well, I wouldn't call up anybody about that. I'm always checking in just to get a sister's opinion.
Mm.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
But you know what? It's
people
so
wouldn't even realize
that
for a long time, even in business, when my mother was younger, because I learned business from my mother. She ran 3 restaurants in D.C.
Mm.
when I was a teenager. I saw her. And when I came along, I would call my mother about some stuff. People would be like, man, were you giving your mother too many props? It's like, no, man, my mother has never told me wrong, you know, about whether you should do this versus you should do that. And I know she tripped off of that because even as I was getting down the line, she probably thought, he don't need to call me. But I never wanted to bypass her. You know, I didn't want to get big enough and bad enough to bypass her decision-making process.
Wow. Oh, my brother, I tell you, it is just, It is so wonderful to hear this, and I know that, you know, this is also what you are teaching your sons, and it's just a wonderful thing to hear brothers say these things. But I will tell you, tomorrow we're going to really bust it up, because there's a couple of things I'm refraining from saying tonight.
Right. Well, we'll do that. We'll crank it up tomorrow. In the meantime, I want y'all to have a good rest of the evening, and y'all get some sleep. Get ready for tomorrow.
No doubt.
Thank you, brother.
Right,
thank you.
Thanks.
And nice hearing you on the line. I'm looking forward to hearing you dialogue tomorrow, and all the other people, Pam Africa and everyone else that's going to be on. So you have the email, Empress. You go ahead and do your thing, and I'm going to check y'all later.
All right, thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. God bless.
Appreciate stopping by. Y'all take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Bye-bye.
All right, family. That, of course, again, was Brother Dalani Amon, and we're going to be on Harambe Radio tomorrow night. Now, all day, he will be airing an encore presentation from last year, but believe me, there's a lot of good information, a lot of good things are going to be discussed, but I will be on live starting at 9, and of course, I've invited Sister Wasita to join us during some point in time. I'll be there from 9 to 11. Sister Pam will be joining us, Sister Basima, and a bunch of other sisters. Sister, I believe Kosawa will probably be calling in and so forth. And brothers, too, call in, you know, share some of the energy with us. You know, we invite you to do so. Now, moving right along, one thing I wanted to say. And again, I'll elaborate on this tomorrow when we're talking with Brother Dalani, and that is, you know, there's a lot of brothers that, you know, seek advice or whatever from sisters. They do it all the time, but whether they either acknowledges it or really embrace it or really appreciate it is two totally different things. But it's done all the time. They seek advice or seek insight into matters, but then oftentimes will just, you know, push to the side as if that's just what they're supposed to do. I mean, we're just supposed to respond to them that way. So it's a very interesting thing, my sister, and a very serious thing. But what we're going to do now is, because we're down to our last 15 minutes, we're going to bring another sister in. And Sister Wasita, if you want to, you know, buzz out now, it's okay. I know you've had a busy day, and we'll get to talk to you tomorrow. But if we want to stay on, please do.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I'm exhausted, but I could not miss this opportunity. God bless to all of my sisters. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Let's stay prayerful. Let's stay supportive. And remember, if you're in a D.C. area on November the 11th, call me up and come on and join our reunion of the Million Women March. Sister Filet, God bless you for your obedience, and I wish everyone well.
All right, my sister, and hopefully we'll talk again tomorrow night, and if not, we'll definitely be in touch later on next week.
Oh, you'll hear me tomorrow night. Yeah,
all right.
We have to keep this going, okay?
I know that's right. Give thanks. Well, we will talk later on.
Okay, Hotep.
All right, mm-hmm. Hotep to you, my aunt Hotep. All right, family, and again, that was Sister Wasita. And we're going to give you more information tomorrow night on the November 11th. I did not mention earlier that starting on Monday, you'll be able to purchase the new pamphlet, booklet, as they call it, The 100 Amazing Facts About the Million Woman March. Yes, finally, it will be available. And it's time for it to be available. It's necessary for it to be available because you must know the history of something that is of history, needless to say. But you need to know the history also because of really the greatness of what was really accomplished in 1997. October 25th, to be exact, the Million Woman March took place right here in Philadelphia. And as it turns out, very shortly, we will be able to document to a greater extent how many people actually came. We are requesting certain records that we had not really, you know, tried to obtain to this degree before because we don't want to go by assumptions. We don't want to go by just some mere calculation. We want to try to bring some other pieces into this that's going to really make certain that people do not attempt to try to dismiss us in the future. And certainly the work that we now bring forward, that we now bring to the table, is going to be undisputable. So what we're going to do now, I think we still have Sister Lanira available. She hasn't really indicated she wants to talk, but I'm going to try to get her to say a few words nevertheless. Sister Lanira, are you there?
Peace, Sister Empress. How are you?
Peace. How are you? I was waiting to see if you were going to, like, push to let us know that you wanted to come on, and I didn't see that. So I said, well, let
me
just...
informative, so I was basically listening in.
Okay. Okay.
Hope all's well with everyone. First of all, I want to basically salute you for being the visionary and architect of the Million Women's Movement, and also building a network of women past and those who are still present and involved in continuing your legacy, our legacy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like it or not, we made her story.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely honor it and uphold our legacy all the days of my life. That's what I basically got to say. And we need more women to uphold and actually show and also give honor to you if they are doing work as a result of the Million Woman's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
That year was very special to me because the year the Million Woman's March, I was released from prison
in
1997.
Mm-hmm.
I made some bad choices in my life. Basically degenerating to the negative elements in my community. I'd done 4 years. But I came home and I was introduced, I received, I think, a flyer or something from someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended that march.
Mm-hmm.
I came home with positive goals to change my life. And then attending that march basically empowered me even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from that year forward, I was about basically re-educating, and I was revolutionized and empowered by such an event. And it got me to where I am today, from all the things that I went on in my life, you know, and most of that stuff is like a learning experience for me. But coming there, you know, it was this sea of love and embrace for women from all walks of life. And I came from that day forward, I came home with goals in mind and also reaching back myself to empower sisters and others.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was at another event, because I was about basically, you know, advocating on behalf of women, specifically the ones I was going to actually start my own initiative, which I'm working on now, trying to reach back to sisters who are behind the walls and sisters in, you know, traumatic situations. And I was working on starting, you know, a sister support group myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met you at... I think it was a pop organization.
Yep, sure
thing.
Was.
Mm-hmm. And it was like a dream to actually see you again, to be able to embrace you and also network with you from that point on to actually build a sisterhood in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And I am where I am today, still doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing now as a component of uniting with women is basically trying to navigate women towards a trade or a craft.
Mm-hmm.
Which after returning home from school, I mean from prison,
mm-hmm.
Returning back to school to get my degrees, which I obtained, and also my focus was, one of my goals was to actually learn a trade or a craft, and I became a certified construction woman. And what I'm doing now is basically trying to navigate women into that field, advocate for women in that field, and to basically do what I can do to empower our sisters, especially our sisters as well as our youth. mm-hmm. and those who basically want to be empowered, you know. So here I am today, and I just want to thank you for being a visionary and architect of a movement that is greatly needed. But not only that, you know, being a sister to me, in spite of it all, you know, I've learned a whole lot from you, and I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. And I just want to commend you for being a sister that you are. We need more of you. We need you to empower more through your words, your deeds, and I will do the same to continue your legacy.
Well, sister, as you know, and I've said this to you, and I've said publicly that I certainly appreciate the work that you have done. And of course, you know, building a movement is really complicated stuff. I mean, people talk about, yeah, movement, you know, the so-and-so movement. But when you look at the history of real movements, I mean, it's some serious things that have occurred. And usually they don't last, you see. So when you have a movement, it has to then grow to the next level. So I'm saying that again, and to all our sisters that are listening, that you must begin to really understand things realistically, in that it takes time to develop something that's going to have some real longevity, and especially if it's something that deals with social justice or obtaining justice or whatever. I mean, that's a serious uphill battle, straight up. So, you know, we try to make certain that our sisters know that you're going to be confronted with different challenges, that we, as women and as an organization or as a society of women or as an entity of women that's building a nation, which is what we are really about doing, we are going to run up against a lot of things before it's over and done with. And so as I encourage Sister Munir and as I encourage other sisters who understand what I'm saying and why I'm saying it, you have to be strong. We say this all the time to one another, but I'm going to take it to the next level and to the next step and say it is mandatory. It is womantory. Okay, because we're up against something that's very, very different and very unique as women. You have never heard of a woman, at least I haven't, not in modern day, say that they're going to build a nation. Now, we say we're going to help build a nation. We say we're going to assist in building a nation, or we'll talk about nation building, but you have not heard a woman flat out, straight up, right in your face say, I'm going to build a nation. And I just said it. Okay. So that really is a lot of stuff that goes with that. And fortunately, these past 13 years has helped me to know better that there's a lot that goes with that. That there's more than a notion. And it's work that I had never even dreamt of. But fortunately, as with you, Sister Munir, it's a growing process. We're now treading grounds and waters that haven't been treaded before. So with that said, you know, it's a work in progress. It will continue. There will be ups and downs. But as we just said earlier in the program, we will win. And some of this we're going to see in our lifetime. I am certain of that. Some of this we will see in our lifetime. So I applaud you, sister, for the work that you do, for the consistency and the commitment that you have, and for the ability to, you know, to take the knocks sometimes, you see, because it's there. That's going to be there. You don't know of anything that has happened for us as a people that was beneficial where it wasn't some dues to be paid.
Well, it's a part of nature. Development.
That's right. It's just the nature of things. But what
and
I do know.
You said something also about, to me personally, I think sisters are basically maneuvered or being taught to basically keep silence.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
In the name of black solidarity, you know.
Right.
And this is what I've learned from that. Like the brother said earlier, it's necessary that, you know, our sister, our feminine energy come forward and also be recognized, because they usually out in the back, you know, or held in the back and behind a curtain and not really being honored in such a way that they should be.
Well, my sister, this is what I've learned over these past 13 years, and that's why I feel wonderful that I made it through this time period, and I look forward to the next 13, but with real visible types of accomplishments. But I have to say this, I've learned in these past years two very important things, and one of them I'm going to speak on tonight briefly, and it's this. In order for that to happen for our people, for society, for the world or whatever, to deal with us in a way that we know we need to be dealt with, to be honored and respected and so forth, this is what has to happen. This is what we have to do. Not ask for it, not, you know, gripe about it, not, you know, complain unnecessarily.
Do so.
But take it. Deal, you know, do it. You know, you see, this is what I've learned. It's fruitless now to keep saying, oh, you know, this is happening, this is happening. And it's not to say we don't discuss it or whatever, but I'm so more focused on, so now this is what we're going to do about this. And two, here's the part that goes with that, is this. And I've said this before, and now is the time to make certain that this is put in place, and it's this. People respond to two things, and only two things, in this day and age: reward and punishment.
Uh-huh.
It's as simple as that. So that means that MWM has to now be in this position, either in the position to reward or the position to punish. Now, some people hear me say that, and I'm sure, again, it will be taken completely out of context, and at this stage of the game, I really don't care. Okay? I really don't care. But that's what has to happen now. We have to either be in a position to reward or to punish. There's a lot, you know, that goes with that, but that's really the bottom line now, and that's definitely how we're going to do this. Now, I've just been warned or given notice that we are now down to our last minute. So, Sister Monique, I want to thank you again. If you get the opportunity, call in tomorrow for Harambe, because we're going to really kick it out. And there will be a special broadcasting coming up probably on Monday. We may do a special broadcast tomorrow from Shanghai, but definitely we get ready to put this into a whole nother realm of being. Sister, thank you again, and
thanks.
You know, I look forward to building further.
Likewise.
All right. Family, we're down to our last minute. This has been a special edition of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. I want to thank all who have joined us tonight, Brother Jelani, Sister Wasita, Sister Munira, Brother Maurice, and you can be assured we have just begun. You thought you saw something in 97? Well, buckle up. You ain't seen nothing yet. Sister Munira, thank you again. Family,
right on.
I want to bid all of you much love and respect as we move forward in obtaining power, prosperity, and peace for our sisters first, for our people in general. Until next time, we leave you with the concept of Ma'at Hotep. Peace out.
Ma'at Hotep, peace.
All right.